The Leach Report Radio Network is on the air with the voice of the Wildcats, Tom Leach. Join in with the rest of Big Blue Nation to get the latest insights and opinions on your Kentucky Wildcats from an all-star lineup of guests. If you have a question for Tom or one of our guests, tweet him to @LeachReport or email to LeachReport@gmail.com. And you can call toll-free anywhere across the Commonwealth of Kentucky at 877-904-1080. Now, here's Tom.
Welcome in to our Wednesday game day edition of the Leach Report, served up by Wild Eggs of Lexington. Cats back on the court tonight at Rupp against North Dakota. Late start, too, 9 o'clock for this one. I hate those 9 o'clock starts. It used to be 9:30. At least it's a little better. Sunday night, I think it's a 6 o'clock tip, and then next Wednesday it's 1. So trending in the right direction, at least with the start times. Tonight, it is North Dakota out of the Summit League with a record of 2-0. And we'll talk Kentucky basketball with Kevin Grevey today. Kentucky is trying to bounce back from that demolition at the hands of Duke 8 days ago. And Kevin and his teammates had a similar situation early in their final season. And we'll talk with him about how they turned it around in their season. Chris Fisher from the Cat's Paws, John Hale from the Courier Journal. That's our guest lineup, always presented by Sleep Outfitters here on the show. Wildcat News of the Day is a service of Cardinal Point Financial Group. That's private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services. Here's John Calipari yesterday at a media session on the eve of the North Dakota game, talking about what they're focusing on in practices.
Anytime I think these kids know something, then I'm more than likely making a mistake. And that's just about every team I've coached here. If I think, well, they know that, then I made a mistake. And so, you know, just taking it back a step and a little bit of old school, you know, some of my practices from past and still a lot of teaching and stuff you would think they'd know, but they don't. And that's okay. That's normal here.
John Calipari yesterday. One of the things that they're talking about is turnovers, and he said it's been primarily an issue with the big guys. All four of their bigs have more turnovers than assists. Cal said for a big guy, you want it to be at worst 1-1. Point guards, he said it ought to be 3-1. He also said, quote, got to have a couple of them stand up and separate from the pack. And we've talked about that with this team, how there's a lot of talent, but you're not sure who the whether you want to call it go-to guy or the leader of the pack is. I think it's probably going to end up being Keldon Johnson, but it may take a little time. And last year, it may be somebody we don't expect. Last year, I don't think we expected it to be Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, and he ended up being, for the most part, the best player on that team. So tonight, Kentucky and North Dakota, a team, as I said, from the Summit League, their first year in that league. Preseason pick 7th in their league. They are off to a 2-0 start. Had a nice win over Milwaukee over the weekend. Looking at their profile, don't shoot an inordinate amount of threes, so you don't have that to deal with. This will be the game on Sunday will be a little odd. Cal briefly referenced that yesterday, in that I think it's a Princeton-style offense that they'll face. So I think this is a more conventional approach that they'll see from North Dakota tonight. On to football. Eddie Grant and guys on the offensive side of the ball talk on Tuesdays, and I don't think there was anything that you heard that's going to make you feel any differently than you feel right now. They've got to go out and get something done on the field Saturday against Middle Tennessee to change hearts and minds. Eddie did say they practiced with a lot of energy yesterday. They went at the stadium in practice, and when I walked up to practice yesterday and noticed that they were in the stadium, saw the lights on and looked in there and saw the guys going through practice, my first thought was, I like this, because when things aren't going well, I think sometimes you need to change it up. Coach Stoops talked about how a football season can become a little monotonous because you are very much in routine and you have the same things you do every day. The only change is when you have an open date, but you have certain things you do on Monday and on Tuesday, all leading up to your game on Saturday. And I think when there's some stress around, which clearly there is now, when you're struggling, as certainly the offense is, but even the defense hasn't played great, that changing it up can be a really good thing. So we'll see if that pays some dividends. I thought there's a good read from John Clay, good perspective in his column today in the Herald Leader, and his colleague Jen Smith had a nice story on Darius West for Senior Day coming up on Saturday. And maybe we didn't fully appreciate the absence of Darius in the first half of that Tennessee game, maybe even the second half of the Georgia game. Went back and looked, and Kentucky's given up 58 points in the last two games, and 37 of those were when Darius West wasn't on the field. So I don't think it's all him, but maybe, again, we're not kind of giving enough weight to the impact of his absence. So he'll be back out there from the start on Saturday. Kentucky was number 17 in the college football playoff rankings that came out last night. So, again, the clear thing to me is that if they can win out, not just the regular season, but it would also be the bowl game, they would have a chance to finish the season ranked in the top 25, which hadn't happened since 84. I think there was only a top 20 then. So that's another thing that they still have to play for. And the new 24/7 rankings are out, 247. Wandale Robinson rose 131 spots in the ranking. We'll talk about that and more with Chris Fisher when he joins us here in a bit. But first up, it'll be Kevin Grevey on the Leach Report, served up by Wild Eggs of Lexington when we come right back.
This is the Leach Report on Talk Radio 1080. You can follow Tom on Twitter. It's at Tom Leach KY.
Sixteen after the top of the hour, it is our Wednesday edition of the Leach Report. We're served up by Wild Eggs of Lexington, Kentucky, owned and operated, and everything is made from scratch. In Lexington, we have two Wild Eggs locations, the one in Hamburg and the one in Palomar, and the latter is where we will be with our Monday morning quarterback show with Coach Ortmeier and Jacob Tammy this coming Monday. And you can come out and join us and tell them that you're a fan of the show, and you'll get free coffee for your entire table. You can interact with the show via Twitter. It's at Leach Report. It's email leachreport@gmail.com. And we can also take your calls. We are trying to reach Kevin Grevey at the moment. So Shannon will do a little producing here on the air. Go back and just go ahead and we'll bring Chris on first. And then we'll catch up to Kevin here in just a bit while we try to reach him. It is our game day edition of the show. Two games this week for the basketball team. This is a stretch where the games come fast and furiously. Two more next week, Winthrop on Thanksgiving Eve in the afternoon, and then Tennessee State on Black Friday. And then Pace will, well, I think there'll be two the next week, Monmouth and Greensboro, and then it slows down a little bit. Chris Fisher joins us from catspaws.com, where if you go to the site, you can see a story that Chris has up about some of the struggles numerically for the Kentucky offense. Looking at the numbers, Chris, in your post, what did you, or any patterns or any trends that you found that were particularly illuminating?
Well, obviously, the numbers are down across the board. If you look at the first five games of the season over the last five games of the season, points are down 19 points per game. Rushing yards are way down. Terry Wilson's completion percentage and passing yards are actually both up. But the two things that really stuck out to me were the sacks allowed. Kentucky only allowed four sacks through the first five games. They've allowed 18 over the last five games. And I just don't think Kentucky's offense is built to overcome that type of negative yardage when you're playing behind the chains and you're allowing or you're counting on chunks of yardage, nickel and diming teams down the field. It's just really, really hard to play from behind the chains. And also, if you look at the defenses that Kentucky has played, the run defenses in the second half of the season have been a lot stiffer in the second half of the year. You have Texas A&M, Georgia, and Missouri all rank in the top 30 as far as run defenses are concerned. And so a much higher caliber defense, I think, has kind of played into some of Kentucky's offensive struggles as well.
You know, your point about the sacks, I had noticed that one as well. And the other thing that I found is that their runs for 10 or more yards, 20 or more yards, that they were getting over twice as many of those in the first five games as they have in the last five games. And what I come back to, in just thinking about those stats, the sacks and that, is that it feels like the field is condensed for their offense. I was taping a podcast with Jeff Pecoro yesterday, and he I thought, had a great way of phrasing it. He said it's like they're playing the whole game in the red zone, that teams are they're not able to stretch the team, the defense. It seems to be everything seems compacted within about 10 yards of the line of scrimmage. Do you get that feeling?
Yeah, I definitely think so. It's more like a phone booth, it feels like, than the red zone. But yeah, when you can't or don't take shots down the field, teams are going to play up. And, you know, now that they have scouting reports on, you know, Terry Wilson and the other guys in Kentucky's offense, they're, you know, going to play a lot closer to the line of scrimmage. But earlier in the season, Kentucky was almost universally known as one of the most physical teams in the SEC. And everyone in the stadium knew that Kentucky wanted to run the ball, and they want to run the ball with Benny Snell. And that hasn't changed, but the results have. And so I think part of that is just getting back to being physical and just mauling guys at the line of scrimmage. And Eddie Grant touched on this, I think, last night when he met with reporters after practice. For a play to have success, you need all 11 guys doing their job. For a play to fail, you really only need one guy not doing his job. And so I just think the Kentucky offense needs to just get back to being physical and doing the little things and really, and you know, doing their job at the end of the day.
You think it's more of the too many people to block, or with the ways the defenses are playing them, or is the line maybe beat up a little bit?
I think it's probably a combination of both. Certainly, defenses are sending more guys and playing more guys a lot closer to the line of scrimmage. But I don't think it's really been any one thing. I think, you know, certainly Terry Wilson shoulders some blame for maybe holding on to the ball a little too long at times, and the offensive line at times, and receivers had their share of the blame on Saturday with a couple drops. And so I don't really think they've been plagued by any one thing consistently. It's just been a number of things that have kind of compounded themselves here over the last half of the season.
You can talk about, you know, glass half full, glass half empty. Maybe they did a great job of disguising their limitations or their weaknesses in September rather than you're doing a poor job now.
And that could be part of it. And like Mark Stoops has said, this offense and this team as a whole has still done a lot of really, really good things. I think if Kentucky wins out and they finish 9-3, I think it's really, really hard to complain about a 9-3 season, right, as a Kentucky fan. Anything less than that, I think, is fair game. But if they went out and go 9-3 and, you know, win nine games for the first time in over 30 years, I just think it's really, really hard to complain about those results.
Hear anything about the McDaniel visit over the weekend or any of the other big guys Kentucky's pursuing?
I really haven't heard anything specifically as far as the Jaden McDaniels visit is concerned. He's very, very quiet about the recruiting process and kind of where things stand. It's still kind of up in the air as to whether he's going to sign early or wait until the spring. And I think that goes for a lot of Kentucky's top targets, James Wiseman, Vernon Carey. Those guys may make fall decisions, but in all likelihood, we'll wait until the spring to sign. And I think Kentucky will. Tyrese Maxey signs this morning. Dante Allen signs on Friday, and checked in with Khalil Whitney's coach last night. And I think he's expected to sign, just not sure when at this point.
And I saw football. Wandale Robinson moved up 131 spots in the 24/7 rankings. What does that put him in terms of stars? Do you know?
He's a 4-star recruit. We have him rated as a 94 right now, like you said, up, I think, 131 spots to number 117 overall, the number 2 all-purpose back in the country, and really a testament not just to his senior season at Western Hills, but frankly his entire high school career. It's really hard to argue with the numbers that he put up, especially offensively, but also on the defensive side of the ball as well.
Thank you, Chris.
Thank you.
Chris Fisher, CatsPaws.com, at Chris Fisher 24/7 on Twitter. Kevin Grevy joins us when we come right back. It's the Leach Report Radio Network. Our guests come to you via the Kentucky Branded Hotline.
It's the Leach Report on Talk Radio 1080. Coming up next, it's Kentucky Sports Radio with Matt Jones.
Twenty-seven after the top of the hour, our Wednesday edition of the Leach Report, served up by Wild Eggs of Lexington. Back to the Kentucky Branded Hotline, we bring on Kevin Grevy. Hey, Kevin, how goes it?
I'm doing great, Tom. How are you?
Doing well. I think you were on the first ticket of the season. They're using some of the top 20 scores on the tickets game by game. I think you were on the first one. I don't know if you were there to see it.
I was indeed. I've already got several autograph seekers sent that to me in the mail, and I've signed them. Yeah, that was a nice honor that they would do something like that.
Before we talk about this team, I wanted to get you on to talk about something that popped into my mind as I was watching the Duke game 8 days ago and thinking back to situations that Kentucky's been in like that before. And the first one that came to mind was December 74 up in Bloomington. You guys ran into a buzzsaw that day against a number one Indiana team you came back and beat at the end of that year, which we'll get to in a bit. But we always talk about that what happened that day. Tell us about what it was like in that game, when you're having such a tough day like that, and then we'll get to the recovery from it. But just in the game, what was that like?
It felt like we were playing in slow motion, everybody, collectively. Nobody could get it going. Defensively, we were late on our reads and our screens, and Coach Hall would put us in a 1-3-1 defense when things weren't going well man-to-man, and it just got worse. They were shooting over our zone, lobbing. I mean, they had Kent Benson and Scott May and Steve Green and Quinn Buckner. I mean, God, they were loaded, and Bobby Knight smelled blood in the waters, man. And they just feasted on us. And nobody, not one player, played up to their game. Coach Hall got embarrassed. You know, that was a game that he got slapped by Bobby Knight at the end of the towards the end of the game. And so all of us were humiliated. And you try everything to turn it around, and at some point you realize this isn't going to happen. It was our worst game. You still have pride. You still try to the end, but we never wanted to have that feeling or to play that poorly again, and I'm sure it was a wake-up call early in the season for us there in December, and we built on that. And
Kevin, I've got to jump into a hard break here at the bottom of the hour. Let me do that. We'll come right back and pick up on that when we return with Kevin Grevy.
You're tuned to Talk Radio 1080 and The Leach Report. And visit TomLeachKY.com for more news and views on the Cats.
Back to the Kentucky Branded Hotlines, we visit with Kevin Grevy, one of the all-time leading scorers at the University of Kentucky, and talking about his senior season, when they had a rough day in Bloomington against a number one Indiana team that they would come back to beat later that year. And Kevin, in that game in 74, that was not something you bounce back easily from. I was talking to the Southern Illinois broadcasters on Friday night before the game, and they were saying, boy, we're catching you guys at the wrong time, kind of thing. And I said, I wouldn't count on that, but I said that the way they lost that game, it takes a little while to come back from that and to regroup. And I remember you guys the next time out struggled at the start of that next game, right?
That's right, against North Carolina. I remember that. You know, it's a confidence killer when you get beat down like that. You start getting some self-doubt, and I'm sure the coaches were doubting some of our schemes and some of the things we were doing and our lineups, and we were, there was a little self-doubt, but that's where an athlete, you know, has to dig themselves out of that, that funk. And we talked about it. Mike Flynn and Jimmy Dan, they were pretty much our leaders on the team. And they're like, hey, man, you know, we're not that bad. What the heck's going on here? We've got to get back to playing together. And every possession, you have to do it defensively, rebounding and contesting. And every little thing had now to be a focus. So Coach Hall really got us our attention, and I think that we had to go right back into the fire against North Carolina. That's right. In the first half, we were horrible again in that first half, and it took an unbelievable effort by Jimmy Dan Connor. I think it was the best game he ever played, ever. I think he had 36, 38 points. He was making bombs from everywhere. And if it wasn't for Jimmy Dan, we would have lost that game in Louisville, Freedom Hall against North Carolina. And who knows where our season would have gone from there.
There are a lot of reasons that you can tick off why Joe doesn't get the credit that he deserves for the job that he did. But that time is way up there high on the list, I think, because here's a guy, he follows Adolph Rupp. In his second year, goes 13-13. In his third year, they start off the way we're talking about, and came out of that and ended up taking that team to the national championship game, beating the same Indiana team. And it's a credit to you guys as well, because they probably should have given you guys a mini 78 championship ring or something too, because I suspect. Because Joe benched the starters, if I remember correctly, in the Carolina game that we were talking about. And the way you guys responded, I'm guessing, is part of what gave him the confidence to do that again at the start of the 78 tournament run that got that group going.
Well, that's true. I mean, Coach had a great feel for our team and our character and so on. I mean, we were tough. We were conditioned. Those things were a given playing for Coach Hall. It's just that... you know, we were stumbling there out of the gate here, and expectations were probably never higher than they were the start of that 75 season, because we had gone to Australia and did really well. We regrouped from that 13-13 team. We had a recommitment. We had an unbelievable freshman class in Roby, Phillips, Gibbons, and Lee to go with the season seniors, myself and Jimmy Dan and Flynn and Guyette. So there's no reason why we shouldn't be good. But we had to go out and prove it. And, boy, it was an auspicious start. That's true. But once we got our footing and beat North Carolina on the heels of that loss to Indiana, I think we felt like, okay, we're ready to go. And when we went into the SEC season, we were just terrific, and the freshmen kept getting better, and Coach got more comfortable with us. So, yeah, it was great. And you mentioned 78. I did feel like I was part of that because I was so proud of those freshmen. I was playing in the NBA, and we had our special year in 78. The Bullets won the championship. And so what a year that was. And then to see, you know, Kentucky guys doing so well, it's a gift to have played back then and play with those great players. And I'm so glad Coach Hall is doing well. I know he's physically, you can see he's falling down, but I was with him at Pro Day for Coach Cal's Pro Day a month ago, and we had the greatest visit. And we talked about that Indiana game. We talked about our teammates, and we talked about hunting and fishing and the things that are so dear to Coach Hall. And it's a gift to be with him when I'm in town. I just love him. Yeah,
I enjoy catching him at practices. Maybe you'll hopefully see him at the shooter room today.
And Coach Cal walked over and said, I know, Coach, you're going to tell me I need to play that 1-3-1. I got all this length. And Coach Hall really does want to see him do that some. And maybe in that Duke game would have been a great time to experiment, because what the hell do you have to lose, you know?
That's an excellent point. you know, Cal doesn't have the seniors to lean on that that Joe did, and you and Jimmy Dan and Mike, Bob, GJ, Steve, and Jerry, if I get them all right.
You got them.
But he'll have to do it a different way. So what are the challenges, and what you've seen this team, how do you expect them to evolve?
Well, they're still dominated by a lot of freshmen. Yes, we have some returners, you know, and TJ and Nick and quality. But I think that, you know, the fact that Kentucky doesn't have that one guy, you know, they don't have an Anthony Davis or a John Wall. They have a lot of collective talent, but not the one guy. They're going to have to figure out leadership. They're going to have to figure out who and what roles everybody's got to play, and I think that can be done in the locker room. It can be done in the dorm. A guy's got to talk. They got to really communicate and figure out what the identity of this team is. They're athletic. They're talented for sure, but they got to find a way. If you ask me, I'm not sure what it is. I don't know if it's defensively. I think they want to play fast. They want to shoot threes. They want to press. They have really good backcourt defenders, but they got to find out their sweet spots, and that's what this early season's about. And I know this team will get better every game. That's what Coach Cal does and preaches, and they'll be ready in March. But they're going to have some tough tests coming up pretty soon.
Cal said yesterday at his presser that he needs to have a couple of guys separate from the pack. As players. Mm-hmm. Any guess from what you've seen who that might be as it plays out?
Well, I think I've been a little disappointed in P.J. Washington. I thought he would be that guy. You know, he's most athletic. He's the biggest. He's got experience. He's terrific in the tournament when he needed to be. I would think that this team could evolve around him a little bit, but I haven't seen it yet.
It's you can, as a coach, I'm sure you want it. You can try to push all the right buttons. Ultimately, players got to respond, right?
Well, they really do. That's what practice is so important. This, you know, these coaches are trying to get a read on each and every one of these players. They're with them day in and day out, and their individual work and their weight room work. I think, you know, we had a collective commitment when we were playing at Kentucky that we would take care of, you know, who was suffering a little bit, who was in a slump, and that's where you got to have teammates to have your back. That's what it's about. That's what this whole brotherhood of team is, and you can't be pointing fingers. You got to be pulling guys up. You can't be rolling eyes. You got to find them and help them. And so, you know, I've never seen a team get beat down like that Duke game, and that was pretty auspicious. Is Duke really that good? I don't know, but I know Kentucky isn't really that bad.
Right.
So. Let's see how they bounce back from this. Southern Illinois, you know, was a little bit of a test, but I'm curious to see how they're going to play on the road and how they play. I'll see them at Seton Hall. I'll see them a couple more times here in December before I come into Lexington. And I hope by SEC time, they only have one or two losses. There's no reason why, with all the talent they have, they just got to put it together. And that's a real challenge for Coach Cal to figure out the right buttons to push, like Coach Hall did with our group. At least he had a little bit of experience to go on, you know, with us. This is a whole new cast of characters with a few guys back.
Kevin, appreciate the insight. It's interesting stuff, and I look forward to seeing you maybe up in New York, if not before.
Okay, thanks, Tom. I'll see you, pal. Bye.
That's Kevin Greavy, former Wildcat legend, and joining us on the Kentucky Branded Hotline. We'll get to a break. John Hale from the CJ when we come right back. It's the Bleacher Report, Radio Network. We're served up by Holiday of Lexington. 12 away from the top of the hour, it's the Leach Report, and joining us on the Kentucky Branded Hotline is John Hale from Courier Journal, courier-journal.com. Yesterday was offensive side interview day. Anything you heard from anybody, John, that gave you any insight into the struggles they're having?
Yeah, I mean, it was interesting. We heard a lot from seniors, obviously, with it being senior week, and it's clear those guys are very motivated to get things turned around and frustrated. Guys like Bunchy Stallings and George Asafo-Ajay on the offensive line, which has gotten a lot of grief the last few weeks, I think, know that there's work to do, but are still confident they can get it turned around. That was the message from Eddie Grand, too. They practiced in the stadium for part of the time yesterday, which is new for during the week. So I think that was kind of a move to get the intensity up, to get the energy up, and we'll see if it pays off.
Yeah, it seemed to be like sometimes you'll see a baseball manager, team struggling, he puts the names in a hat and draws out the batting order. It's just something to change up the routine.
Yeah, and especially after what we heard last week, which was Mark and the other coaches pretty confident throughout the week that the players were bringing what they needed and there wasn't a hangover from the Georgia game. And then obviously they went out and played against Tennessee and looked very different to what they expected. So I think Mark has been very upfront about the fact that whatever buttons they pushed last week didn't work, even though they thought they did. So it's just time to push some different buttons and see if that's what gets what they need.
You probably lean on, they think, with a veteran group, especially on the defensive side, that they'll take care of some of that readiness, focus, whatever themselves. But, Cal always talks about this with his young basketball players that, they don't know. And it's probably an element of that with the Kentucky football players in terms of being in, being a 12th ranked team in the country, playing for an SEC championship, dealing with the aftermath of that. All of those things are new experiences for them.
Yeah, and I thought that was basically the most interesting thing Mark said Monday at his news conference. I know a couple sound bites were maybe more headline worthy until they got most of the attention, but at one point he said that they've been very good being the hunter, but they have not been nearly as good being the hunted. And that's basically a mentality thing, and that's not something Kentucky football has had to worry about very often. Even as they've been going to bowl games the last couple of years, they have not been the team with the target on their back, maybe ever. And that has been the case the last, two or three weeks, other than maybe the Georgia game, I guess. But they've been that team that other teams are trying to go and upset, and it definitely takes a different mindset. And these are the lessons you learn from being in these situations, and then hopefully the next time you are, you can handle them a little better.
One of the seniors is Darius West, and I was thinking about this as I was talking in the opening segment today that a lot of the points they gave up, big chunk of the points anyway, in the last 2 weeks have been times when he wasn't on the field. When he got called for targeting, that was on a third down stop, so Georgia was going to attempt a field goal there. Instead, they got a touchdown, and they got another one on the next drive. And Tennessee got two touchdowns and a field goal in the first half and did a lot of the damage with throwing the ball down the field or getting big runs where Darius had been so good about clamping down on those, right?
Yeah, I think he's really important to this team. I mean, and obviously they've been very high on Devontae Robinson and what he's been able to do, the last, mostly in the second half, but he's been playing that nickel position mostly in those contributions. And with Darius out, he had to play, a traditional safety role, and it's a different role, and he's still a young guy, and learning positions doesn't help that. But I think in terms of defensive players behind Josh Allen, you can make the argument that Darius West is maybe the most important guy they have, and especially with the turnovers he's forced and the kind of the steadying presence he can be out there. So I don't think there's any question that they missed him in the first half Saturday and in the second half against Georgia after he got ejected.
You're not going to make any dramatic changes this deep into a season, but one game can make a dramatic difference in how a group of players feel about themselves, just the positive momentum. And but yet, you can't just want that to happen. You actually have to go out and make it happen. But do you think it could be something if they play well Saturday, put some points up on the board, 20-plus at least, that they could suddenly, that momentum, they could ride that for a while?
Yeah, I think that would be huge for this team. And it's interesting on offense because, the one guy who has gotten better the last, you know, 3 or 4 weeks is Terry Wilson. He's been getting better while maybe the rest of the offense has regressed a little bit. So if you can get those things on the same page, if against a team that physically you should be much better than, even though Middle Tennessee is very good, they just don't have the depth that you would expect from a Power 5 team. If you can impose your will a little bit there, get some points. We know that last game is going to have a lot of emotion just because it's a rivalry game, but frankly, Louisville's defense has been terrible, and we'll see if they're better with an interim coach now, and that was fired to them. But the opportunity is there to build some momentum here, and then you have a month of bowl practices to look at what's worked, to kind of zero in on the things that you can improve on, to see if any of those young guys can contribute a little bit more. And I think that would help a lot going into those practices, and then just the momentum of a bowl game that appears to be a pretty good one still, maybe not as good as they thought a couple weeks ago, but a matchup against another good team that will be difficult.
Explosive plays have mostly evaporated for this offense. Do you see any constant theme to why they're not getting them, especially in the passing game? It really hasn't happened for the most part all year. So you'll see guys drop the ball. You'll see receivers overthrown or underthrown. Sometimes it's a sack. But, I mean, do you see anything happening more often than anything else?
Yeah, I mean, I think part of it's just personnel at this point. Basically, the last 2 years since they lost Jeff Badette to that transfer, they just have not had a receiver that can go down the field and consistently get those big, you know, downfield catches, and that hurts, I think, a lot, because that's what worked so well that first year with the, you know, power run offense, was having the threat down the field to keep the defense honest. And since they just don't have that, it's affected the run game, because teams can, you know, key in on that. And I think Benny has obviously gotten banged up a little bit just with as many carries as he's had, and maybe he's trying to do a little too much at times. We've seen that. I thought we saw that Saturday when he didn't hit a couple holes and tried to make a bigger play than what was available. And maybe guys like Zaire Hughes and Ahmad Wagner can provide some of that as they played a little bit more. But just to date, I just don't know that they have the weapons in the receiving game to do that. And it'll be interesting if in that month of bowl practices they can find somebody, or if it's a situation where they need Wandell Robinson and need Javonte Richardson or whoever's coming in the spring to be those guys moving forward.
John Hale, thank you much.
Anytime. Thanks for having me, Tom.
Courier-Journal.com at @JohnHale_CJ on Twitter. Final segment of the Leach Report. When we come right back, we're served up by Wild Eggs of Lexington. The Not a Slice Wild History. Craig East set a school record, two of them, on this day in 1998. Catches in a game and receiving yards, 16 for 267 in a win over Vanderbilt. And happy birthdays, former Wildcat basketball players, Twani Beckham and Jared Prickett. And Jared, we referenced last week when Kentucky was playing on Friday night, because Nick Richards was going for 20 rebounds. Thought sure he'd get it, and he ended up with 19. So Jared Prickett remains the last Wildcat basketball player to have 20 rebounds in a game back in 94. Going to do it for this edition of the Leach Report, served up by Wild Eggs. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to the Leach Report. Make sure you check out the podcast page at TomLeachKY.com whenever you miss a show. And be sure to follow the Leach Report Facebook page. If you have a question for Tom, email